Grace and peace unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you, the Church of God at Grace. We don't really consider that too much. Who are these people at Grace? What kind of a gathering is this? Why are we here? Human beings gather into all kinds of different legislations. Groupage is an adequate name, but the Greek word we use here to describe ourselves is ekklesia. It is more than just a political or a civic nuance. People gathered here in industries. People gather in industries all the time. They gather like in the Screen Guild Actors Guild, the Screen Actors Guild. Half a dozen different unions exist over the face of our world and planet. People gather themselves untogether for in groups for works of charity like the Low Country Pregnancy Center. They gather even for political events like the NRA or CPAC. People gather themselves into groups. We gather themselves into groups all the time. They gather themselves into communities, large communities, small communities, interesting communities, and pretty much anything you can think of. We come together, we parcel out soil, we build our homes, we lay out a couple of rules to keep the riffraff out. We build lodges, we build clubs, we build associations, but the church is a different kind of body politic. We are made up purposefully of everyone, from every imaginable tradition. The Church of God comes from every nation on earth. We come from every race that you can even imagine. Some are rich, some are poor. Some enjoy all of the rights and privileges of the nations in which they live, some don't. But you can't talk your way into the church. You cannot buy your way into the church. You cannot be born into the church. But that's really a different sermon, to tell you the truth. Today we're talking about just the body politic, the church at Grace. It's not really that easy to define. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul is struggling to get a similar group of people to understand who they are and why they are. The Church of God at Corinth. Well, that's what we are. I mean, we're not at Corinth, we're at Grace. I use Grace because I didn't want to use Somerville. I don't want to alienate the North Charleston or the Ladson folk. Some of us are poor. Some of us are rich. Some of us work in offices. Some of us work in shops. Some of us have worked at home for so long they can't even imagine how it would be to go in to work. Some of us have had the finest educational opportunities the world has to even offer. Some of us have absolutely no education at all. We have old people. We have young people. Well, we have people. All kinds of people. What brings all of these different kinds of people together? This is where our text begins to give us light on the subject of who we are and why we are. It is the result of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that binds us together in, with, and under that great promise of the forgiveness of sins and the light of God that shines in our souls. Paul had once been to the city of Corinth, and while he was there, he preached a message given to him by God. And the people of Corinth had not planned to hear this message. The people of Corinth had not devised this message. They did not come to get this message. Paul had told them the story about Jesus as a redeeming love. He called attention to their sins that grieved their hearts and their souls and their neighbors. And he told them about a fountain of healing, a balm of Gilead produced so long in the past, prophesied from the very beginning of creation, As these people of Corinth heard this gospel message from God's own heart about Jesus Christ given unto them, they were affected. And they acknowledged the sin that infected them. And they understood Jesus to be their Savior. And Paul set a cross upon them. And that cross became a magnet to friends and neighbors and countrymen. And no one was forced. No one was forced to come to this church, this ecclesia. Not one piece of legislation was passed. Now, some people laughed at it. Some people heard that message that Paul had given them that came from the mouth of God, and they laughed. They thought, that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. God cannot be man. Man cannot be God. It doesn't make any sense to my mind. I will not believe it. I don't have to believe it. Therefore, I will not believe it. Other people were even worse. Some went even so far as to say it's not only ridiculousness, it's crime. It's an actual crime. They made fun of us. They mocked us. They called us baby eaters. They made fun of us, and they whispered behind our back and said that we murdered and stole babies and cut them up and ate them. They said that we were people that claimed that we could eat God. And they thought we were the most ridiculous people on the face of the earth. But some believed. And they gathered around that cross of Christ and they said, yes, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of our souls. And then they became the church at Corinth. Now, this group didn't come into existence because some human being had had a scheme for them. This group didn't come into existence because somebody had argued them into acceptance of this message. Just as Corinth came through the preaching of God's word, so do we. And that's why we are here. Somebody told us the message of Jesus. As a little one, as a big one, as an adult, at some point, a cross was lifted before our eyes. And hearts were persuaded by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Another heart is persuaded then, and they fall upon their knees at the cross of Christ. And so, day by day, week by week, year after year, heart by heart, we have come together. However different we may have been, we have now been united in the message of Jesus Christ, united as brothers and sisters in Christ. And human wisdom doesn't have anything to do with it. The very message that which we preach, it is holy, it is inspired by God Himself. This very message comes to us from the very heart of God, just like it did to those Corinthians so long ago. And some folks are flat offended by our speech. But we preach Christ and Him crucified. Some don't want to be told that they're sinners. They bristle at the very concept that there is anything evil within them. And if they are going to be sinners, then they want to be sinners, but they want to save themselves. Some have been so bold as to say, when I meet my Creator, when I meet God, I'm going to meet Him face to face. I'm going to meet Him like an equal. Good luck with that. If you really think you are equal to the ever-living God, then you meet Him however way you choose to see fit. God is welcomed to allow you to do that. Now, all of these foolish things which the world wants has nothing to do with God's wonderful purpose for us. He states, and because of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it was written, let the one who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. We boast in the Lord. in our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of our ancestors, the God of the Church of Christ at Grace, who has made Jesus' work a light unto our lives. He has made him righteousness. He has made him salvation. He has made us redemption. We are not gathered because we're going to see how we can invest our money wisely. We are not gathered here to do some cooperative research that we might find a cure for some evil or disease. We are not here to create a more perfect union. We have come because we have been called by God, specifically and by name, called to the foot of the cross, given the assurance of our salvation, that we can come and lay our daily burdens and lay our sins at the foot of this cross, to lay down our heartaches, to lay down our yearnings, to lay down our schemings, and we come for a fuller understanding of our Lord God Almighty. We come for wisdom, and we come to be acquainted with Jesus, that he might wash us of our sins. We have so many different interests in life, but the one thing we share in common is that love that God has put into our hearts. And so we come that Jesus might help us to share that love with those around us, that we might be able to fit the love of God into our homes, that we might be able to fit the love of God into our marriages, that we might be able to fit and share that love of God into our businesses and into our jobs and into our health and into our sickness and into our glory and into our fear and into our hopes, that we might find a way to fit God into the general issues of the day, that they too may be called. We want to learn to distinguish more clearly the difference between right and wrong. We want to live as children of the light, not as children of the world. We want to learn how to love people and use things instead of using people and loving things. Jesus has done so very much for us. He has poured out his very lifeblood into our hearts that we might learn on what it is to be a child of God, that we might look for answers where God would give us answers so that we might come and love God. We also have an interest in one another, because in Christ, our individual interests are wiped out. It doesn't make any difference whether you wear a fur coat or a cloth coat, or whether you have a custom suit or an expensive dress. We are equally and totally redeemed and brothers and sisters in Christ. If one of us has a heartache, we all have a heartache. And if one of us is happy, we are all happy. And if one of us is sad, then we are all sad. If one of us is troubled, then we are all troubled. And so we yearn to rise and to help arise when trouble overcomes the body politic that is the Church of God at Grace. And so we come to one another with different purposes, but to grow in Christ and be fed by that same Spirit. And so the church is a wonderful thing. And so we give God thanks for this wonderful church, for this building, for these people of God at Grace. The work of salvation goes on. It goes on day by day. And some may refuse like they did in ancient of Corinth. Others may momentarily apply and then fall away. Satan may snatch the joy out of some of our lives. But there will be some that will be loyal and we will be true. And we will be the folk of God constantly. God will then add unto our number as he chooses, as he sees fit to call others into this great assembly in the body of Jesus Christ our Lord. And through the means of grace, the Holy Spirit will continue to gather his church worldwide. True believers, saved by grace through the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ, a divine Savior of the world. A communion of saints gathered around the forgiveness of sins, the very work and the body of God in this current dark and dreary world. In Jesus' name, amen.